Hello, I'm Bill Hancock, founder and CEO of FaithBridge Foster Care. We've produced these podcasts for you, and we hope that you'll enjoy them. We designed them to be informational, inspirational, and we hope directional for you and your family as you continue the journey of Christian foster care ministry. Judy Sartain, I want to welcome you to Voices of Foster Care. We have been trying to get you here for this discussion for some time. You're one busy lady, and I'm so happy that we finally got you here to have a conversation today. Welcome to Voices.
Thank you for inviting me, and it's a pleasure to be talking with you.
Well, tell me a little bit. First of all, introduce yourself to all the folks that will tuning in and listening to our conversation today. Tell them a little bit about yourself, who you are, and why you're here today.
Okay. I am a mother of five, three biological children, and two are adopted. I had a general practice of law and probably finalized my first adoption about 15, 16 years ago. And enjoyed very much working with the adoptive families. And that's before my husband and I adopted our children. Mm-hmm. Actually, before we had our second biological child. So it was a good experience as an attorney, and I enjoyed working with the people that I worked with. And so it just so happened that it kind of gradually built and built and built. And then after we adopted our last child, he was 8 in October, and he was about a year old when we adopted him from Russia. It became obvious to me that with 4 children at home under the age of, I guess, 12 at that time or whatnot, that it was silly for me to try to continue a full-time general practice. So I decided, after talking with my husband and much prayer deciding what direction I was going to go in, it seemed that adoption law was something that I could coordinate well with a mom's schedule. And I thought it would take a long time to build a practice. I didn't even know that you could build a practice around guardianships and adoptions and things of that nature. It has happened gradually, but I am very busy now and I'm enjoying it. I was once a foster parent. About 25 or so years ago when I was living in Cobb County. So foster parents have always been near and dear to my heart. And I know the frustrations of working within the foster care system and of the joys of and the challenges of having a child brought to you or met at the defects office or whatnot with the garbage bag full of clothes and here he is, have a nice weekend,
right,
kind of thing. So it's been very gratifying to work with foster parents, very gratifying to work with in the adoption situation with guardianships. And I get a lot of calls from folks in the private sector that are not foster parents that have situations that they need advice with on guardianships or,
right,
or things of that nature.
Right.
And it's a labor of love because
yes.
I feel like I'm on call 24/7.
Yeah.
I really seem to be, but that's okay. That's okay. I enjoy the practice of this kind of law and I love working with the folks I work with.
Well, I can tell it. Ever since I first time I met you, and we've known each other for a couple of years now, and have just been a big fan of your practice and you personally, and your passion and conviction that children deserve a permanent family. They are entitled to being protected and being safe. And I love the fact that you get up and you think about that every day, and that you advocate for kids and you advocate for foster parents and adoptive parents and people who we feel have been called to this work of parenting and raising someone else's child as a call, a ministry for their life.
It's absolutely ministry, Bill, and that's one of the things that has excited me throughout the years. My inability to keep quiet about my faith, if you will, has led to my enjoyment of being a sole practitioner,
mm-hmm.
and not having the rules and regulations of a law firm to tell me to shut up when I want to talk about my God and my Jesus and that sort of thing.
Right.
So I really feel like I can minister to families in a way that not many attorneys either have the freedom or the license to do so, or perhaps they don't have the spiritual grounding. We relate, and I relate, let's say, mm-hmm. from a common spiritual grounding background, as it were.
That's right. This is a mission.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's our
exactly.
calling.
It's our calling. It's our mm-hmm. ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to help folks, and they call me for advice or call me to know what to do, and I will tell them, and then I can say, let's pray about this.
Yeah, yeah.
And see how the Lord leads.
Yeah. What are some of the calls you get from people? What's a typical day in an adoption attorney's world?
It never starts at 9 o'clock, I'll tell you that.
It never ends at 5.
And it never ends at 5, that's right. I took calls this afternoon at about 2:30, and then on the way over here, from a gentleman who they're in a situation now where there's a young lady that would like to just give them her child,
mm-hmm.
and they are being very sensible
mm-hmm.
About it and mm-hmm. needing to know the legalities
right.
of the situation
right.
because it's difficult when people just
sure.
kind of, I don't want to say dump,
right.
but it happens.
Oh yeah,
it
yeah.
happens.
Yeah,
people,
sure. It sure does.
I have seen people leave their children with total strangers with less forethought than they would leave their dog.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it's tragic
the
way that children are treated by the people who are should be most vested in their
yeah.
protection and their
yeah.
safety. So I get calls from grandmas, you know, my daughter had this child and she left him with us and what do we do? And then I ask, well, how long ago did she leave? 5 years. You know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, what do you have?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they've got a legally binding document, either mm-hmm. custody or guardianship,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes they don't and the child's getting ready to start school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just by the grace of God, the child hasn't had a true medical emergency.
Sure,
they've been able
sure.
to go to the family doctor that has
right.
treated the child, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's getting to a situation where they need those documents. They need a birth certificate.
Right.
They need a signed custody order or a guardianship order that allows them to enroll them in school or
exactly.
that sort of thing.
Exactly. Let me give you a scenario because this is actually, this is a real case. Scenario, and we get calls to FaithBridge quite often too
mm-hmm.
from our church partners. We pastors are our community of care ministry directors at churches. We get calls, and here's what we're asked before, and this is more than once. We have a family at our church whose family member is doing drugs. They've lost their job. They've basically brought the kids to this church family's and member's house, have left the kids there, and they haven't heard from them in 3 weeks. They don't know where they are. What can we do to help that family? What should they do?
That is a very good question, and unfortunately it happens a lot more than one would even imagine.
Yeah.
There are certain legal protections that you must take because unfortunately, you sometimes have folks that will come back and say, you've kidnapped my children or
mm-hmm.
you've taken my children
mm-hmm.
from me. When, of course, that's not the case at all. But different people always have a different perspective on what really happens, if
yeah.
you know what I'm
yeah.
saying.
Their
understanding of reality
yeah.
is different,
yeah.
so to speak, especially when you've got someone who's impaired by drugs,
right.
perhaps,
right.
And who is suffering under the inability to maintain stable housing and stable
right.
employment and that sort of thing. So you've got folks that already feel like they're backed into a corner.
Yeah.
Everything they have, that's worthwhile has been taken away from them. And they feel very vulnerable. So then they're going to we have that fight or flight.
Yeah.
That instinct in
us.
Yeah,
I totally get it.
And that's exactly what folks do. Well, what the family should do that has had the kids then for 3 weeks, they need to have some kind of legal authority to have those children.
How do they go about getting that?
Well, there's any number of ways. If they are trained as foster parents, they can go ahead and call DFACS and get DFACS involved.
Okay.
Or they can go to the local probate court and apply for guardianship of the children and say that these children are a relative of us through this degree, whatever kind of relationship it is.
So what you're saying is, children have been here 3 weeks, it's a family member, they hadn't heard from in 3 weeks, we know they're doing drugs, we can go down to probate court and do what?
Apply to become a temporary guardian of the minor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Apply to be a temporary guardian of the minor.
Right.
Okay, and you do that there at the court?
Absolutely. Okay. And the clerks in that office are typically very well trained and can help you. They can't offer you any legal advice.
Okay.
No clerk of court in any court can offer you any legal advice.
Do you need an attorney down and do this procedure?
Not really. And I know that probably shocks you that an attorney would say you don't have to hire an attorney to do that.
No, that's why I like talking to you, Judy. You're very transparent, very straightforward. And that's what people need. This is a very complex situation when you're getting into abandoned children, abused children, whether they're your family or not. These are complex situations, and then to think about going down to your local court and doing things you've never imagined doing before, your thought is, maybe I need an attorney. And what we're hoping to do here at FaithBridge is get the word out, and that's why I'm so glad you're here today, and you're saying, look, you don't have to have an attorney. You can go down to your local county courthouse, probate court, speak to a clerk.
Right.
Tell them what?
Tell them that I'm here to apply to become the temporary guardian of a minor child.
Okay.
You'll need the birth certificate of the child.
Okay.
Hopefully you can get that somehow.
All right. Okay.
And then you will need to have some sort of idea, hopefully, where the parents are, the biological parents.
Okay.
Oftentimes we've got a mom, but an absent dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that... I could talk all night about the absent father and what the absent father has done to the family structure. It grieves me so much.
We're going to have you come back in and just do a conversation around absentee dads. We'll do that.
It's a tragedy.
Yeah.
It truly is. But what they will need to do is somehow either serve by the sheriff that mom and that dad.
Okay.
It, of course, if they can't be found, there's no way to do that. They will place a legal notice in the newspaper, in the local newspaper, and set a hearing date and have a hearing in which the folks then are appointed as temporary guardians of the child. Now, at any point, and oftentimes what happens is that you'll have a young mother going through a tough time, and she will ask her mother or her aunt or somebody, a cousin or somebody trusted in the family, can you help me over this rough spot?
Right.
Will you take my children until I can get back on my feet, until I can get a job, until I can get a home to bring them to, that kind of thing. And a lot of times I'll get the call, well, we wrote it on a piece of paper that it was okay for me to have the child. And I'm like, well, did you fill out more documents than that when you bought your last car? And, well, yes. Well, then whatever gave you the idea that you could write it out on a piece of paper and it would be okay. But I've seen people do it. And so we'll have somebody call and they'll say, well, let me talk with the individual, the young lady, or the young parents, or the parents of the children. And I will explain to them that they are not giving up the children, but temporarily giving their parental rights to the guardians in order to be guardians, stand in the stead of the parents. And that's very important, because without legal authority to have the children, mm-hmm. you can't get medical care.
Okay.
You can't enroll them in daycare often. Right. You cannot enroll them in school. Mm-hmm. You can't do a number of things. You know, you might even need to apply for Peach Care or other right. public assistance mm-hmm. and not be able to do mm-hmm. that for the children. Actually, if you get guardianship of the children, there's a little box that the probate judge can initial that authorizes you to put the children on your employer's medical insurance.
So you can place a child on your medical insurance at work
yes.
if you have temporary guardianship papers of that child.
If you have completed a form that's called an assumption of obligation to support.
Okay.
But these forms even can be found on the internet.
Okay.
And I don't see any need in paying me or another attorney when they're fairly straightforward forms.
Okay.
You got to pay, you go down and you pay the fee, and then a lot of times you have to advertise for the absent mm-hmm. absent mm-hmm. parent that
yeah.
you don't know where they are, the unknown
yeah.
father, that sort of thing. But that's the first step in securing these children's safety
mm-hmm.
because without having anything. Kids get sick.
Yeah, they do, and it can be. They can get. They can either cost the family an enormous amount of money, cash, or the child may not be treated.
Exactly, and see, there's a. You wouldn't even be able to authorize treatment. Say
yeah.
say a child in your care with nothing, with no mm-hmm. authorization whatsoever. Say you had a 12-year-old child that. Developed appendicitis.
Mm-hmm.
One of the boys on my son's baseball team, this happened to him last year. He got appendicitis. They kept sending mm-hmm. him home. They mm-hmm. had the flu, whatnot, and it burst.
Oh, my goodness.
And so he was in Eggleston for a long time. As you can imagine, IV antibiotics, the whole bit. What if that were to happen to a child you had in your care, but yet you had no legal custody or guardianship
right.
over?
Right.
First of all, you couldn't authorize any care.
Right.
And second of all, if somebody did do some care, you really wouldn't be liable
yeah.
for the expense because it's not your child, but
right.
yet you would feel morally
right.
obligated again.
Right. If you're taking and asking
exactly.
them for help and... And this is a case where temporary guardianship is really important because the child's not in DFACS custody.
Exactly.
This is oftentimes a call that comes into the office where a pastor or a friend says, I have a friend at church who they have a family member who's left their kids using drugs and... they've been at their house for weeks now. What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying what we do is we go and file for temporary guardianship
exactly.
of the children.
Mm-hmm.
And you said earlier that when you do that, you have to have a birth certificate. What if you don't have a birth certificate? The parents are just gone. They brought them over and said, hey, will you watch the kids for a couple of days? We'll be back. And they hadn't seen them in 3 weeks.
I can do you one better, Bill. I had a call one time from a lady that... she told me that her ex-husband's girlfriend brought her daughter that was not her ex-husband's but was somebody else. Anyway, you get the connection.
Yeah, complicated.
Brought the child over from Alabama to visit friends here in Georgia and asked my client, the lady that ended up being my client, would you watch my baby for a couple of hours? So she calls me. And I said, well, how long have you had the baby, thinking it had been days or weeks?
Mm-hmm.
7 years.
7 years. And they're finally doing something about it.
Well, every time she caught up with the lady, the mom, to try to get her to sign something, she would vanish.
Right.
And then she would search and search and search and find her. She would be incarcerated somewhere else. We would catch up with her, and then... she would vanish. She'd get let out and she would vanish. We finally caught up with her, and she signed a surrender of parental rights, and my client adopted the child, which was the right thing to do. The child
yes.
had been there for seven,
yes.
8 years.
That was her family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. When someone, this is a scenario based in actual fact, and it's temporary guardianship seems to be a good approach to do that. And most people, if you know of somebody that is in that situation, or if you're personally in that situation, you can always call Faith Bridge. We'll put your number, make your number available on our resource list on our website. People sometimes can send emails to us. We can, you know, we're here to support and help people, because we believe that if people are informed, good people, particularly folks in local churches, if they are informed and they're aware of the problem and they know how to take action, most good people are going to do something.
Absolutely.
They're going to do what's best for a child. I'm convinced that most people just don't know what to do. And without information, they can't act. And they get frustrated, so they call their church. And that's why it's so important to get this information out.
Thank you for your compassionate service to foster children. FaithBridge is here to serve you. If we can support you in any way, please contact our team. It is our desire to help you succeed in all that God has called you and your family to be, children who desperately need you.